to Dr. Goggins' point, we're going to move on to the CAC presentation with Mr. Tom Horowitz.
I'm getting it ready.
Take your time.
It's going to be hard to follow that TED talk.
Well, Tom's bringing that up.
Yes.
Tom, just a quick word about the Citizens Advisory Committee, because we're always members. We are citizens that work on topics of interest to the board, and we do research and make presentations on things that may very well assist or help the district in some way, shape, or form. So we get together sometime during the summer, we work out several topics, we take them to the board approves our topic, and then we spend the majority of that school, or along the school year, working on that presentation. And then this time of year, we present that. And several of the presentations that we've done are over, the CAC has been around for a very, very long time, and many of those recommendations have been implemented in the school district. Recently, we did a presentation about counseling services in the school district and so forth, and a lot of that report was used. It doesn't mean that the board has to take our report and use the whole thing, but sometimes that research comes in handy when they're making decisions. So when we look at the topic that we chose for this year, the background on this is it started out of a pretty simple conversation over at the Board of Education. Dr. Goggins had invited me over because the library happens to be right next door to the brand new school that's going in. We're very excited about that. And he had up on the wall a very preliminary sketch of what that building might look like and said, what can we do that is outside the box that is, you know, we know we're gonna partner, we've always partnered, but what can we do that would be really crazy? And we started thinking about it, and that's where literally the seeds were sown of the idea to, which became the outdoor learning space. We talked about wetlands and the woodlands that are over there and how we could leverage that part of the property that was going to be maintained into a learning opportunity. And the board approved that topic, so we started researching what that would look like. Before I get into it, so the topic was formed by several members of the CAC that are here tonight. So if you just so people can see, we have Mary Essie, Lauren Chocolate, Dana Hoffman, Tom Horowitz, myself, Andrew Mangles. We had Abby Matu that helped out on this project, and Patrick Lee, and am I forgetting anybody? I think that was our committee that did that work, that put this together. So the topic that we came up with was to research feasibility and benefits of a nature preserve, taking into consideration some of the wetlands and environmental opportunities that were there. It included what do we do with the undeveloped land, having a nature preserve, and we wanted to look at other districts, what they had done. Also, what the city of Westlake has done several things in regards to wetland preservation and education. So we looked at all of that. We started with a map of the new property, and you know, the idea originally was the library is over here, and there's a little tiny strip of wetlands that runs between the two properties. And the original thought was, what can we do with that wetland to really connect those? It would be an outdoor learning opportunity, not just for the students, but library patrons as well. And as the school plan became a little more clear where the boundaries were going to be, we realized that probably wasn't going to be a viable piece of ground. So we started looking at, well, we had some wetlands over here, but once you start messing with wetlands, it gets very difficult very quickly. And we realized that there was a piece of ground right in this area here, and I think the next slide gets in a little closer. When you kind of zoom in between the detention basin, the play area, there's this space that kind of ties in where you could do some things that lent itself to outdoor learning activity. So it was a real lesson, and for you students, you illustrated that very well about how you kind of start with an idea and you use the word fail or just keep trying things, and the original idea doesn't necessarily always look like what you wind up with. So we kept working at it, and we realized that this was probably the most likely space to do something. We started looking at what other school districts, other places had done, and it's amazing how creative it can get really quickly. A signature component of that, though, was relying on recycled or upcycled materials instead of, you know, going out and buying metal benches or traditional type learning furniture things. You see how some places have used old logs in different ways. These are actually to be used as benches or chairs or seats for students to sit on for learning. A lot of outdoor play activity that, again, is either upcycled or recycled that mimics real nature. Sometimes it's actually real nature components or it looks like it, but it really ties in to the way the land looks, and it looks natural. I'm still going, right? I'm going to turn it over to Laura at this point. We're a well-oiled machine here. I want to turn it over to Laura to talk about some of the other aspects of our project.
So, thank you, Andrew. Some of the latest thinking in leadership in any endeavor tells us to start with why. So, why is an outdoor learning space beneficial at our elementary school? And I have to say, Annie, my goodness, your presentation was very, very sophisticated. And really showed a lot of that higher level cognitive thinking and skills. And so I'm going to tell you about the educational benefits, but I think we've just seen it in action when you give a kid a project to talk about the natural world, you know, whether it's outdoors or bringing the outdoors in, there are numerous benefits. So when children interact with the natural environment through outdoor learning, they better understand their role within that environment. And they develop a connection to and stewardship for their community, and that influences future civic mindedness. Research shows that outdoor education results in improvements in attendance, attitudes about school, in-school behavior, student and teacher stress levels, and ultimately leads to increased standardized test scores and overall academic achievement. Children who have the opportunity to engage in outdoor education have shown improved language, problem solving, and communication skills, and exhibit increased self-discipline and initiative. And finally, outdoor education supports Ohio learning standards across multiple subject areas, but of course, when we think of nature and the outdoors, we think about science. And so as students observe the environment, they plan and conduct simple investigations using simple tools to gather data. And then they communicate about their observations. So topics like habitats, seasons, the sun, weather, rocks, minerals, soil, these are all content areas that can be addressed in an outdoor learning environment. Okay, so environmental benefits. Why is an outdoor learning space beneficial to our environment? Well, the Citizens Advisory Committee back in the fall, we started to initiate conversations with Bob Kelly of the City Engineering Department. And we learned a great deal about the environmental benefits of the detention basin that exists on campus and the surrounding area and what enhancements, educational enhancements would do to benefit. So the detention basin naturally manages stormwater and allows it to flow away from the school site and reduces erosion. The district, in addition to that, has the opportunity to create a green, sustainable environment by reducing non-native plant species and cultivating native vegetation, which I'm told by Bob at the city that native plants act like kidneys. And so when the water drains through them, they clean the water even before it goes off for treatment in the stormwater treatment program. And finally, the district has the opportunity to create biodiversity in the area. And some projects throughout the city that are similar have included features like bat boxes and raptor perches. So these are all features that entice these animals to come into the area and provide for learning opportunities. So community benefits, what are some of the community benefits? An outdoor learning space allows the district, as Andrew I think mentioned a little bit earlier, to share community programming with the Porter Public Library in a unique environment. It enhances cultural and civic pride, and we believe that it will be an aesthetically pleasing space that has benefits to the natural environment. So, thank you.
All right, I'm going to talk about grant opportunities so that not everything that
that goes on here has to come out of the district budget. There are many, many grant opportunities. I was, you know, able to, I just wanted to highlight a couple of them. In our Google Docs, I developed a spreadsheet which has more than what's up there. But these are some of the ones that, you know, kind of jumped out at me as some of the more promising ones. They're both public and private organizations that do provide grants for environmental education. Dominion Energy is one. They, you know, provide grants for up to, you know, $5,000. They've provided grants to many Ohio schools for environmental education. And they're looking for like short-term projects to teach about the environment. The Ohio EPA does have an Ohio, you know, it has a educational fund. It could go as high as $50,000, but don't get your hopes up. most of those grants are between $500 and $5,000, and it's for encouraging, explaining, you know, how important habitat restoration is to increase biodiversity. Captain Planet Foundation. I love that name, Captain Planet. They have some grants also, which provide up to about $2,500. EcoSolution is one of their trademark, you know, their programs, and they have grants that are available to educators to work with youth. But the kind of string they have attached there is, these have to be youth-led projects, which means, you know, the teachers are there to guide them, to help them, to provide some kind of guidance. But these really have to be more youth-initiated projects, kind of like what Annie was. This might be a project you might be working on one of these grants. And then Project Learning Tree is another one. They do have some grants available. And it's for environmental service learning projects as you can see, they link classrooms, learning to the real world. There are more details in the spreadsheet. I have to figure out how to get the spreadsheet to you. There are a number of grants that are available, but they're not available right now. A lot of these grants are on a rotating basis. That's the ones you have to get your application in. And just at this time of year, they don't show anything available. But these include the National Environmental Education Fund, the U.S. EPA, and the NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, as well many, many of these large corporations, banks, insurance companies. They also give they have foundations which provide charitable grants for the purposes of environmental education, and just to be part of a part of the community. But I will try to figure out how to get all that information to you. There's a lot. I also have a lot of the backup documents, like the applications, and there's more details as to what they are looking for in the grant applications.
So I think some of the next slides are things that examples of what could be done. So in this case, a butterfly garden. Is that the only one? So it was just a nice little insert slide there. Okay, so moving. So
that actually showed a grant that I think was a McDonald's. So provided a grant for that.
That was a project that was supported by a grant.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Like, it's a big corporation that gave a grant.
In addition to some of the larger grants that may be a little more involved and take some writing, we believe that there are a lot of resources right here in our community. So with whether it be through monetary donations or also just maybe sweat equity, utilizing Port Public Library as a good neighbor, I think there's a lot of things that we can do if we're going to have adult programming or programming outside of the school day. That would be something we would want to bring to the table to help out. We believe that there are, at the library, we know we routinely get requests from Boy Scout and Girl Scout troops that are looking to do projects. So this lends itself to all kinds of different projects. We have Garden Club, the Herb Club, senior centers, churches, a lot of groups that are looking for potential projects to work on. There's also funding opportunities, and if there's members of any of these clubs in here, I am not suggesting that it is a done deal, but as Dr. Goggin knows, he's in some of these clubs with us, with me, that they do look for projects to support. So whether it be Rotary or Kiwanis or Town Criers, I'm a member of the Elks, and the Elks likes to look for projects that are local. These are organizations that would love to support the community with a good project attached to it. We've worked, throughout this process, we worked with people who weren't necessarily on our committee, but did come to meetings and help us out. We had some of the teachers, like Melissa Barth, who gave some really good input early on. Our project was kind of going this way, and she came in and said, you know, you might want to focus back this way. That really helped us a lot. Also, the Cuyahoga Soil and Conservation District, which is a really exciting organization. They talk about detention basins all the time, and the difference between a detention basin and a retention basin. Learned a lot from that organization. We know that Tri-C has a lot of resources available, and Dr. Pope is a science person at heart, so we would hope to be able to get the colleges involved. And Watershed Group, I know that was something that Laura attended. There's actually a group that meets here in Westlake that talks about watersheds, and watersheds are actually pretty exciting and very important to our environment. So you enjoy those meetings, right, Laura?
They are very committed folks who I think would make excellent meeting partners.
Right, yeah, they meet on Friday mornings at City Hall at some ridiculous hour, like 7 o'clock. Yeah. So all of a sudden, when you start really looking into this, you realize there are a lot of great committed people out there that would get behind a project like this, and I think we could build some great partnerships. We also looked at what other school districts in our area were doing. Well, Boston's not so much our area, but Berea Midpark and Mayfield were two examples that were close by, and we know some of our students had opportunities to go out and view projects that had happened in the area, but the Boston Schoolyard Initiative was another one that just kind of jumped out as a way to go about doing things. And then these are some of those examples that you can kind of see what students did through Berea Midpark and Mayfield Heights. You know, it's just kind of showing, you know, just some, this is what it looked like before, and then here where they put a path in and some of the flora and fauna that then show up because of what they've done. And then the Boston School, that's really cool. That one's a little bit more on the side of adding some of those play features in or furniture that is through upcycled or recycled materials. And lastly, our recommendation. We certainly want to ensure that the teacher and student-driven development of that space is critical. And again, having the teachers involved early on to steer us in the right direction was very helpful because we were going in a completely different direction. So getting that feedback, writing grants is not something that you can do in a couple of minutes at a time. So the idea of maybe getting a grant writer to help pursue some of those would be helpful, and really pursuing those community partnerships and sponsorship opportunities. And I think that that's a real possibility given that, again, Dr. Goggin and myself are involved in those organizations, and those community groups are always looking for partnerships.
That's it.
I just realized as we were looking at our potential community partners, glaring omission, we forgot about Footpath Foundation, Mary Massey's Foundation. Very helpful, brought a lot of great information, identified a lot of the benefits that we had there, as well as the Boston Schoolyard Initiative. So I apologize for not putting you on there. That was extremely helpful. And she is definitely a potential or definite community partner.
Sure, thank you.
I just wanted to say that I had the pleasure of sitting in with them for a couple of the meetings, and they're, as a person who runs a nonprofit that connects kids to nature, I obviously find this a very important initiative, and find that there are many benefits that obviously time didn't permit them to share, but there are also a lot of emotional and physical benefits to having this space. Even having 10 minutes outside has shown that it reduces stress, it reduces anxiety, and it reduces ADHD symptoms for children. So there are so many more benefits that I just know the time didn't permit you to share. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to talk to you about different pieces and things that were brought up. But there are a lot of great benefits, and I definitely want to be here as a parent to support this initiative.
Okay. And as you know, you can get our binder.
Good, wonderful.
With all of the supporting documentation.
Well, to all the members of the CAC, you work very, very hard. We appreciate your hard work. We love the topic. We love the presentation. We love and thank you for all of the contributors that assisted with this. This is something that I think that you know that we're very seriously considering, and the information that you provided is very helpful. Anyone on the board have any questions or comments that they want to share at this time?
I just think that the community, when they find out about it, will be very excited, because I have a friend who is a master gardener. And every time, I see him about once a month, and every time, you know, he goes by and he looks at progress, and he's got ideas about gardens, and there's a lot of master gardeners, you know, in Westlake. And it would be very good to use some of these people and get their input. And I just think the community will be excited about it.
My question always is, what do you think are, what do you see as some natural next steps with this? Because it's great information. They've done a lot of legwork for us.
Right, and so I attended early on some of the CAC meetings, and one of the nice areas, I guess the other part, just for people who haven't been on CAC, the thoroughness that is put in with this group and doing this research project, to where getting, even having me in early, and then choosing their site, just because naturally, when Andrew and I originally met, we did want something really close to the library in between the two, so it would be a nice natural connection. But then as we started looking at what made the most sense, since we had that detention area and we were going, we have part of our budget and our construction project set aside to put some vegetation in there, we can start off by being purposeful. And so having this in advance before we actually talk about that, we could be more purposeful in what goes in there and then begin to set the stage for it. And the other thing that's really nice is they brought up Melissa Barth, and I feel like I'm doing the same thing you are. There's so many layers to this that they didn't share in this report that they looked at, where they brought in Mrs. Barth. And if you haven't seen, she's the person who started the beekeeping. So we now have two beehives here, but they're also creating a pollination garden, doing the same thing where they're bringing in a plant life that's indigenous to Ohio. Well, now we're gonna be matching the same thing in the elementary school. So they're gonna have that environmental connection from when they're in elementary school to then come over here and take that next step. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different things that we need to do. We can start by being purposeful in our construction project and planning for it, but then it is being able to draft out the true vision for it, mm-hmm. and then begin to try and secure some finances for it.
And I think that part can be done in steps too. Mm-hmm. We talked about those stages, so we don't have to look at it as this overwhelming cost. Like, mm-hmm. we start in small stages and then go to the community and say, who has stumps? I mean, there's logistics, obviously, involved, and there will be some costs, but if we start small and build upon that, and there was some concern in the community about kids with special needs, and all the research shows that this actually can be potentially like a safer space for them. We can build like ramps or hills, there's lots of ways to overcome that. The idea is to be all-inclusive for all children, mm-hmm. and give them, you know, even 10 minutes outside. Quality space, however it's
about. And one more point to put Dave on the spot. Now, this detention area isn't going to consistently hold water. It drains.
It drains, and if it does hold some water, it'll only be for a brief period of time. But yeah, it's designed to serpentine its way through there until it gets to the exit.
Has or will this be shared with the library board?
I'm sorry?
Has or will this be shared with the library board?
This specific presentation has not been, but the library board has been formed all along the way, and now that it's been presented here, we will absolutely share it with the library board.
What other questions, comments?
Would next steps be discussions or pulling together maybe a focus group or a committee?
Well, I'm not sure. We have to get staff, too, because the,
right,
the key
right.
to it is building something. We may think it's a great idea.
Right.
But then we also have to build something that staff is going to be able to go out and utilize
that's
as well.
It's tied to what they're doing
and
in the
sustainable,
classroom.
Too.
Correct.
Yeah.
So. There were a lot of great resources on how outdoor learning spaces are tied to curriculum. Mm-hmm. And I think it was pointed out that the Ohio has an outdoor curriculum, and we want to make sure those are tied together.
Yeah. Thank you. Great job.
Yep.
Thank
you.
Good work. Thank you. We are, I thought it was important.
I just had a couple of housekeeping things.
Sure.
Applications for memberships for next year.
Absolutely.
We did, we received two applications for the CAC next year, and just so the people here know. We work under the auspices of the board, so everything we do has to be approved by the board, including who becomes a member. So we received a applications from Tim Pager and Amy Havelka. You all know Amy. She's been involved in with almost everything with the district except for being on the board and the CAC. Kim Pager, she moved here a few years ago. She has a one child in second grade, one child, another one in fifth grade. She works at Highland as a project manager, and she's also served on the Holly Lane and the DIS PTA committees. And then actually, last night I got a third application, but I'll put that together for you for your next meeting. But anyways, at this time I'd like to request your approval for Kim Pager and Amy Havelka.
We have that later in the agenda?
Yes. We do it at word of just.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're so darn efficient. Yeah. We've got it. And the third one made its way on
well,
there.
No, we also have a community representative being approved. Tamara Hawes.
Well, she withdrew her.
She withdrew her. Okay. Yeah. We'll amend it.
We'll amend it.
Okay.
So I did want our younger presenters to be here for the CAC presentation. I saw the tie-in and I wanted them to see that. Before I allow some of those younger presenters and families, we'll take a minute of recess if you choose to leave as we dive into the rest of our agenda. A young lady, a student here at Westlake High by the name of Leave Adkins, if you would just take a moment to look around the room. If you take a look around the room at Leave Adkins Capstone International Baccalaureate Project and the amazing work that she has done, I wanted to point that out, and please at your leisure throughout the meeting or after the meeting, take some time to take a look at that.
Is this all hers?
That is what Mr. Wilson, our high school principal, told me, absolutely. So. At this time, we'll recess for about a minute if you choose to leave before we continue on with our agenda.
They had other ones here for the AP.
Reflection.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It is.
Pretty cool. Yeah, some of them were changed out. I reckon those are different ones that were here over the weekend.
Yeah, I was here.
Construction report?
It's really small, right?
I need to hire more for the membership.
No.
Okay.